Good morning, everybody. Welcome, welcome. So glad to have you all with me today. I have been traveling around the world and around the country, as I'm sure a lot of you have been as well. And to help me on my travels, I always go to my very favorite travel guidebook written by Rick Steves. It's either Europe Through the Back Door or any one of the wonderful publications that he has out. And today I'm really pleased to introduce you all to Rick. I've got Rick on the line with me today. Thanks for joining me.
Well, thanks, Barbara. Thanks for traveling with my guidebooks.
Oh, my gosh. It's so wonderful. I actually have two friends that are going to be taking some of your tours this summer. And and every time I told someone I was going to be interviewing you for my show, they were like, oh, my God. So everyone has a story. So it's great. It's great. And one of the things, as I had mentioned, a lot of my friends know, I just came back with my husband from a trip to Paris, and we used your book, and you make it so wonderfully entertaining and accessible. I love art and history and museums, and my husband, you know, doesn't love it as much as I do. And your descriptions are just, they're so, I will say some of them are slightly irreverent and yet very informative and entertaining. And I'm just kind of curious how you develop that style.
Well, that's interesting. I've always had a respect and a passion for history.
Yeah.
Got a history degree. And for 25 years, I was a tour guide myself. So I was taking groups around. And, you know, wives were interested and husbands were bored or vice versa.
Yeah.
And you got to make it, appealing and meaningful to anybody. And, you know, curious people just need to understand that this information really matters. And so I have that sort of heritage as a tour guide.
Yeah.
For the last 30 years, I've spent 4 months a year in Europe leading tours, making our TV shows, and researching my guidebooks.
Right.
The fundamental thing for me is researching the guidebooks. That's, I'm heading off next week. And every year I go April and May in the Mediterranean area and then July and August north of the Alps, and I just visit every place, check out all the new museums, pick the brains of great local guides, and then I just love working over there. I can work for 50 days in a row and 12-hour days and come home feeling healthier and younger and more energized than when I left. After a long day of research, I go back to the hotel, and then I'm always just alone, so I've just me and my laptop, and I massage this and design this information into the various chapters in the book, and I, you know, come up with quirky and goofy and juvenile and brilliant little insights as I'm all alone entertaining myself in the hotel room with that information, and that eventually becomes next year's edition. We're kind of old-fashioned with our guidebooks because we endeavor to visit every place in every guidebook every year.
Wow.
Nobody else is doing that these days.
No.
And I think that's one reason why our guidebooks, we've got 30 guidebooks covering every place in Europe. I think that's why they're the best-selling guidebooks in almost every category.
Yeah, well, and they are really fun and so helpful. I mean, you know, you even talk about, you know, skip this and don't do that. We went to the Musée d'Orsay in Paris, and I think you had mentioned that you had this way of going through the museum, but then they moved the art around a lot there, and we didn't panic because in your book you said if something's not there, it's okay. It may be somewhere else. Just
yeah.
It's like a scavenger.
Well, and we have a little thumbnail photographs of the painting, so you can just ask a guard, you know,
sure,
where's this, and they'll point you to it, or they'll say it's out on vacation or whatever.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and of course your walking tours are always a highlight for us because especially if it's a place we've been to before and we want to do something a little new, we just pull out the walking tours and see areas of cities that we wouldn't normally see. So that's
I love that. And we've had this sort of digital revolution now where you can have so much information available digitally. And one of my exciting new endeavors is to produce these self-guided audio walking tours and offer them for free to anybody who wants to use them.
Yeah.
I have an app called Rick Steves Audio Europe, and people get the app. It's free. And then they can take any of the tours they want, and then they'll have all of the main chapters from the books available in these carefully crafted audio tours where they don't need to read the book. They just pop in their earbuds, and it's just me and you in the Sistine Chapel, and I get to kind of walk you through it. And for me, that's such a joy as a travel teacher, and tens of thousands of people are using these walks now, and I just love doing that. So I've covered all the major sites and walks in London, Paris, Venice, Florence, Rome, Athens, Vienna, and lots of other places. And that's just one more way that we're trying to help people enjoy the most meaningful possible experience and get the most out of their time and their money on their precious vacation time in Europe.
Absolutely. I'm speaking with Rick Steves. He is defies a simple description. He's a travel guru, and of course, a lot of you might know Europe Through the Back Door. And we're also talking about his new e-books, which are really, what a revolution. And, of course, you know, I guess you wouldn't really be in the business you're in if you didn't take advantage of all the technology. And it is wonderful to know that you could just plug in your little earbuds. And the funny thing is, we noticed when we were in Europe that a lot of people are, you know, using your books, and you kind of bond with people. You see them on the train, or you see them on a bus, and everyone's got their Rick Steves book out. And so, you know, we actually ended up, you know, meeting people that way and just sort of bonding over the travel book. So it kind of enhances the whole experience.
You know, Barbara, it is kind of an extended family, people with my books, and I'm not quite sure why. Part of it might be that my books have a personality, and it seems to me I'm a big fan of other guidebooks, too, and the editors in the other guidebooks seem to have combed the personality out of the books. But when somebody uses my book, they're on a first-name basis with me, and they know what my quirks and my passions are, and it's just a very intimate kind of approach to Europe. And I think people who use my books are generally thoughtful travelers that want to get out of their comfort zones and learn a lot. And, you know, there's other books that would cater to people who just want to go duty-free shopping and work on a nice tan and try to collect frequent flyer miles. So there's different approaches to travel. And I've got my little niche, and I've got 80 great people working with me here in Seattle. I've got a wonderful publisher I'm not very aggressive in the digital revolution, but I'm just focusing on generating content and knowing what's going on in Europe, and my publisher then knows how to be sure we're ahead of the curve on all these digital things. So now we've got 75 brand new little ebooks that are $2 each, and they're guided tours, all the tours taken out of the big books. I mean, you can have the 1,000-page book if you want, but if you just want the little 40-page tour on your iPhone, it costs you $2, and you've got everything you need for Westminster Abbey in London, or for exploring the Lagoon in Venice, or visiting the Uffizi Gallery in Florence. And for me, this is just an exciting new way that we can cleverly, share the information that we work so hard to put together.
Right. And, of course, there's a new generation of travelers, and they love this stuff. You know, I mean, I think it's really fun, but, you know, my husband and I are always kind of fumbling with technology a little, but the kids, the young adults and the teens that travel now, this is really right up their alley. So now you can engage a whole new generation of travelers that, you know, this is what they live with. And
that is so fun. I just met a man in Venice in one of my favorite churches there, and he showed me his tablet, and he had that virtual bookshelf, you know, on his screen.
Yes.
And it had 8 covers of my books on his screen, and I thought, that man's got, you know, 25 pounds of guidebooks right there in his pocket on that little tablet. And he was so enthusiastic about using the books in a digital kind of format. So all my guidebooks are available in print and digitally, and we've got these new digital excerpts from the books that are $2 each.
Yeah.
And it just depends on how you want to use that information. But the most important thing is to realize you need to think of yourself as your own tour guide. You've got to equip yourself with good information, expect yourself to travel smart, and you will. There's a lot of people screwing up over there, and there's a lot of people having great times over there.
Yeah.
And it's just some people get that information and travel smartly.
Absolutely. I'm speaking with Rick Steves. He's the author of, oh, golly, many, many travel books. Of course, Europe Through the Back Door is the one, I think, that started it all. And now everything is going to be on ebook. You can purchase for $1.99 these little excerpts from the books. Steve, I got to ask, because I know other people will probably be wondering, do you have a favorite place you like to travel? Or when you're not working, do you just kind of hang out at home?
I probably just hang out at home. I'm an interesting character because I spend 4 months a year, I've done that for the last 30 years, living out of a 9x22x14-inch carry-on, the airplane-sized suitcase, moving from hotel to hotel. When I'm in one town, I change hotels every couple of nights because I need to experience different neighborhoods and different hotels for my research. And, you know, where would be my favorite place? Well, I'm not that interested in being on vacation. I just love my work, and I want to maximize my experience that can benefit my traveling readers and viewers and tourists. So wherever I am in Europe, I just love it. I haven't gotten tired of it, and I don't know when I will, but for the time being, I'm just thankful I found a niche where I can work hard and feel more energized and younger when I get home than when I left.
I think that's wonderful, And, you know, the tips that you offer, I was joking with my brother. I was visiting with him this past weekend, and he did a backpacking trip through Europe, probably 25 years ago when he got out of college. And he said, I followed all his directions, even the packing stuff about only bringing dark clothes. And I mean, these are like classic tips that really they're timeless and make so much sense. And I'm kind of curious, what are some of the most handy things that you've found? What's the most practical advice? Is it still sort of the same stuff, or have you upgraded or updated a little bit some of your advice?
Well, you know, we always have to kind of evolve with the technology. I gave Europe Through the Back Door a complete revamp for this latest edition because
I saw that.
Nowadays everybody has to travel with a cell phone. You need a cell phone to travel smartly in Europe. You don't need to be super techie and over the top that way, but you need that cell phone gives you power. I've certainly changed my last traveler's check. Now you just use ATMs.
Yeah.
I think it's really fun to know what's going on in different countries. I mean, it's fun to be up to date on drug policy issues and go into a coffee shop in Amsterdam where they haven't arrested a pot smoker for 25 years. It's fun to go to the Dordogne and see it invaded by English tourists who come down there for foie gras and to realize they're outlawing foie gras in California this month.
Yeah.
It's fun to go to Spain and go to a bullfight, even if you don't agree with the barbaric treatment of the bull, and then go to Catalonia and find that the bull arenas are being turned into shopping malls and they've outlawed bullfighting. It's fun to go to a sauna in Helsinki and just sit there with a bunch of naked Finns. I just think travel is so stimulating and it gets you out of your comfort zone.
It definitely does.
But too many people are just docilely following the color-coded umbrella of their tour guide and looking at lame touristic cliches on stage and going back to their hotel and complaining about the air conditioning with other Americans, and that's just not good travel. So you need to take the initiative to have that great trip, and that's what we try to help people do in our travels. It's more than just seeing the Leaning Tower and the Eiffel Tower and this and that. It's experiencing, it's learning, it's gaining an empathy for other people. It's broadening your perspective. I've been doing this for a long time now. In the first decade, it was all these budget tricks, Europe through the back door.
Right.
The second decade, it was history and art appreciation. My book was Europe 101. And in the last decade, I've really been interested in helping equip and inspire people to broaden their perspective through travel. And I've written a book called Travel as a Political Act.
Yeah.
And people can learn about all of this easily on the Internet, or they can go to my Rick Steves Facebook page and kind of enjoy my blog, which shares a behind-the-scenes look at all the work that we're doing.
Yeah. That's the thing I was going to mention, is that you really have changed the tone. And I love sort of the political references and all the things you're just talking about. It really does add to the enjoyment of a place when you get that perspective on it, because those are things, you know, you could be as prepared as you want, but it's hard to know we were in France during an election, and that was really interesting. And although it wasn't necessarily something in a guidebook, it was something interesting, and we were able to read a little bit on, because we had my tablet, and we could go on and look at some of the news in English and figure it out. And it did add to our enjoyment of the trip to know that they were going through this then. And
That's the mark of a thoughtful traveler who will actually learn about the rest of the world in their trips, because, you know, we're in a tumultuous, exciting age.
Yeah.
And if you let commercial media shape your worldview, you're a pretty sorry person. You know, you got to get out there and realize that this people-to-people contacts are really what is true. And it is such a rich experience. It really carbonates your life when you get a chance to broaden your perspective through travel, and that's our opportunity. And I think media has never been more impactful in our outlook, and we really need to take it upon ourselves to get out there and meet some people and talk to them.
Yeah, I love your term, carbonate your outlook. That's fabulous. That's that's what it's all about, is to kind of shake things up a little. I've been speaking with Rick Steves, the internationally known travel guru, and his latest endeavor is e-books for $1.99. You can go download his excerpts from his books and take them and listen to them on your phone or on your tablet or whatever, and while you're there, and get the whole scoop right there. So, Rick, how can we get your latest e-books? Are they on your website? Do we just Google it?
You can get the e-books if you just go to the Apple iBook store or the Amazon Kindle store or BarnesandNoble.com or just any of the e-book retailers. You can go to my website and learn more specifics. But these days, if you just Google, you can Google Rick Steves and bullfighting, or you can Google Rick Steves
just about anything,
Turkish bath, and you can learn all sorts of stuff.
It'll take you where you want to go. And, of course, his latest book, Europe Through the Back Door 2012, is out. And what a lot of fun, and tours and all kinds of stuff. So, really, we could all – it's a Rick Steves world out there. And I really appreciate your taking the time today. I wish you a lot of luck on your travels and your safety. Of course, you know how that goes. Thanks.
Safety, I think I'm safer over there than I am here. So it's just important to get out there and not be afraid of the world, but to embrace it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Rick. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
A pleasure to talk to you, Barbara, too. Thanks and best wishes.
You too. Bye-bye.